Welcome to The Bazness, one-on-one conversations with fascinating artists. I'm your host, Sam Landman. Tonight, we're venturing into some different territory, as we have in the previous episodes, actually, in a way that I think is really kind of fascinating. It is involving a theater company, specifically a founding member of a theater company in town that does, let's just call it devised theater. She can correct me if that is just way off, but I'll let her do that very soon. If you've seen any performances by Sandbox Theater, you know where I'm going with this. It's just like nothing you've ever seen. It seems like every time they go out of the gate, and I say this a lot as a frequent watcher and having been in a couple of shows and also just following everything they do, it seems like they're always trying to strive for something different than the last time. So I don't know. If you're not familiar with them, you will be more familiar. If you could please welcome my guest tonight on The Bazness, Heather Scone. Thank you very much for coming on the the show.
You're quite welcome. I must let you know that it's Heather Stone, Sam.
Stone.
Yeah.
So it's not an S-C-O-N. Okay.
No. Although
fine.
A scone would have been nice.
Oh, sorry. We only got you water and, you know, that little carry-all bag that you full of fun goodies.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Yes, of course. So thanks again for being on the show. Let's start where we always start, which is I want to ask you, do you have a particular acting process before you go into a show? I know all shows are different, but is there like a go-to process that you go through?
My go-to process is pretty straightforward. I will sit in my bathroom and run all of my lines in order before I let myself out of the bathroom.
On the toilet?
Pretty much.
Really?
Sometimes I am on the toilet.
Okay. A little peek into Heather Stone's world. No, but yeah, you isolate yourself.
Yep.
Go through the entire play.
I go through the entire show. I say every single line that I speak. And if there is movement, then I relieve myself from the bathroom, and then we'll do the movement in my living room.
I was about to say, how big is the bathroom? Because, like, if it's a larger space or whatever,
nice size I can see it. For one person.
Okay, so you have to get out of that room in order to. So that's a very straightforward process.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten that answer before.
Really?
And that's we've had a lot of people go the route of, well, I really have a process. Every show's different, and I'm like, yeah, but there's got to be something because there is just that one thing that you're just used to doing to prep for anything, whether it's Shakespeare or anything.
Right. I think it's that, I started doing that in college, so I think it's just stuck with me since college.
Just habit.
Yeah, habit.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. So you, I called it devised theater.
Yes.
I know it can also be called ensemble created theater. Or what would your term be for? Do you have a specific term?
We just call it collaborative ensemble creation.
Okay, describe what that is if people don't know what that is.
It means that everyone who is involved in the show, whether it be designers, assistant director, stage manager, the performers, everyone basically has a voice in what we create.
Okay.
Granted, the majority of the stuff is created with the performers,
right,
but we start with nothing. Typically, there is not a script. There's just a seed of an idea for the show that we want to create, and we do it together.
Okay. No script at all?
Pretty much no script.
No script.
I mean, in our very first show in 2005, we had a script.
Okay.
That was written by one of the founding members.
Okay.
But that's still original work, and
right,
we collaboratively created the blocking,
sure,
as you say. We,
sure,
you know, created the show together.
So that's sort of Sandbox. That's their thing. That's what they do. That collaborative thing. And having been in a couple of shows, it's such an exciting and yet horribly scary thing because whether people know it or not, not everything is buttoned down all the way up to opening night. Things can change literally the last rehearsal before an audience comes in.
Yeah, we can be rewriting short scenes, changing up choreography or movement. I mean, it's not original ensemble creation work is not for everyone.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. I think it's great if people want to try it, but it can be really scary.
Yeah.
Because it puts you out of, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm not being told what to do by a quote-unquote typical director.
There is a director in the process.
There is a director and what we call the project lead. The project lead is the person normally who has the idea of the show.
Okay.
So they carry the vision of the show, and then that person works with the quote-unquote director.
Okay.
Basically, we all are directors, but the director gives us guidance as we are creating through the process.
And I would imagine that through that process, you are all very creative people, all in it to win it or bring your own maybe biases as actors or biases as directors or biases as performers. So there can be a lot of butting heads here and there. A project lead could be like, okay, that's not what I had envisioned. The director's like, well,
this is what the ensemble has come up with. I wouldn't say that there's a lot of butting heads. Everyone in the process knows that we have a saying. It's called, it's about the show, it's about the show, it's about the show. It's not about you,
right,
the actor, how many lines you say or how big your part is, because you'll be writing lines for somebody else. Somebody else
right.
will say a chunk of stuff that you've helped create. So it's an openness. It's a lot of yes anding.
Right.
And just helping the show become what it is through the collective brain power of
right.
everyone.
Well, how did you get involved in this type of theater? Is this something that you saw one performance of a group and was like, oh my God, I want to do that?
Right. I had no idea this type of theater existed until after I graduated from college.
Where did you go?
I went to Augsburg College, which is now Augsburg University.
Oh, what is the difference? I don't even know.
I think university is bigger. I don't know. Anyway.
So, I went to a community university myself, but
so I didn't know anything about original collaborative theater when I was in college.
Okay.
And after college, you know, you're 22, 23, you're auditioning for everything because that's your lifeblood. Oh my God,
right.
I have to pay off college and I'm a theater major. And I stumbled across auditions for 15 Head, a theater lab, which is now defunct, and which is what Sandbox came out of. And I auditioned, and I was just floored. It was an audition process that I had never done before. It's like we created scenes, and I was like, oh my God, I need to do this type of theater. Like they wanted to know what I was bringing to the table. And it took me 2 years, I think, of auditioning and getting called back before I actually got to be in a show with them.
2 years?
How
long were they around? I'm trying to...
They ended... So Sandbox started in 2004, 2005, and we were involved in their last show, which was probably 2002, 2003.
Okay.
So... I graduated in 1994 from
94.
College, university.
Yeah, we've already gotten some letters saying there are people who are listening to this program who, they weren't even born in 94. Is that even possible? It's 2018, and I'm not sure if I can do the math.
Is hard.
Yeah, and I told you earlier, this show hasn't even aired yet, so I'm totally bullshitting. So that's cool. I really like the idea of collaborative theater, and being in the middle of it was incredibly eye-opening. I know there might be people listening now who might be like, I would never be able to do that. I need a script on the first day.
Right.
And I've talked to people, and you've probably talked to people who you're like, you should do this show. And it's like, I need a script.
Yeah. And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
People have said to me, I could never do what you do.
It
scares the crap out of me.
Because it's not, and that's the funny thing. We just had Rita Boersma on, and she is an improv person, a fantastic improv person. She's getting back into theater now, auditioning. And a lot of what we're talking about now is one step removed from improv. It's basically creating a show out of improvised scenes and things you wrote. And then people putting them together into a cohesive story,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is great. That's getting onto my next question. What in that particular realm, what do you consider yourself besides like a founding member? Are you sort of the godhead? Are you the person who's like, this needs, you know, you don't oversee every show, but if a show is being made, what is your role in that? Just kind of, we're gonna watch rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna talk to the director, the creative lead.
Mm-hmm.
What do you consider yourself in that process? Just a company member, or is that?
I'm a collaborative creator.
Okay.
Basically, I mean, if someone in the company isn't personally performing, creating, isn't performing in a sandbox show, we all step in at rehearsal and come in and be an outside eye and help create when someone is missing from rehearsal. So we all tend to have our fingers in it. We have expertise in what we do. And so we... I don't want to say it's an expectation because sometimes you don't have time if you're not involved in the show because you're not involved in the show for whatever reason.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's always come in and help and give feedback and help create.
And I just thought about this, but now versus say 2004 or
mm-hmm.
5,
mm-hmm.
there are other theater companies who do similar
mm-hmm.
work. Do you feel, I'm not saying you're trying to take credit or anything, but do you feel sort of responsible and feel about, I don't know how to say it, but do you feel a sort of kinship with those companies? Is there, you almost feel like they sort of maybe spawned from what you guys were doing, or?
I feel like we are the old people of, you know, just because we started in 04, 05, and I'm sure someone is going to be like, that's not what... I mean,
right.
From my perspective, I feel like we are one of the first in the Twin Cities, and hopefully people aren't up in arms now about me saying that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've been around for 13, 14 years.
Years.
And so I feel like we started...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want to be
able
to...
And I should be more confident about that, but yes, I feel like, yes.
You're not from Minnesota, but that's very Minnesotan.
I know.
And I'm not from Minnesota either, but, like, that's a very Minnesotan answer. It's like, I don't want to step on any toes. We're not the first. We're kind of the first.
15 had a theater lab. They were first,
right.
In my mind, and we came out of that.
Yes.
So...
But you're still around.
When we're still around.
You're still moving forward.
Right.
I want to get back to the process just a little bit. So for anybody who just happens to still think this seems just a nutty concept, besides the process of just writing the scenes and what have you and having sort of a some building blocks of what you're aiming towards,
mm-hmm.
What are the tools you use, whether it's... theater exercises or it's writing out
mm-hmm.
things. Is this like asking somebody to reveal like a magic trick?
No.
Because like obviously it's out there, but...
Right. I mean, we have our standard things that we do in rehearsal from our toolbox.
Yeah.
Like before, like a month or so before rehearsal, we have a homework assignment for everyone who's involved in the show. And like we say, hey, we need you to gather images of bodies in motion that speak to you from these certain words.
Okay.
So grab pictures like that. Read this text of whatever it is that we are researching.
Okay.
And then when we get into the rehearsal room, when we're creating, it's like we go through what we call them stations.
Okay.
And so we do a lot of free writing inspired by specific prompts that are given by the project lead or the director.
And those are sometimes timed.
Yep, everything is timed because we don't want you to edit. It cuts
right.
out the self-editor so that you're just barfing out as much content as possible. And then we just keep sifting through it.
Yeah.
So we do free writes. Sometimes we'll watch segments of movies or video to incorporate physicality. We're pretty movement-based, so there's always a lot of imagery that we're pulling from and recreating physicality as specific as we can from these pictures that inspire us.
Yeah.
And then we just weave it all together.
Yeah, and the stations work always kind of fascinated me because if you have, let's say, four stations mm-hmm. that basically explain what a station is, and the process
right.
of moving from one to the next.
So you're in a duo or a trio, and so okay. there's four stations, and you have 5 minutes at each station. So you'll be like at your free write station, and okay. you each are writing, and then someone will say switch, and you move over to the next station, which could be talking statues, okay. where you form someone into a shape, and there's a prompt, and then that person as a statue just speaks, barfs out for a minute, and the other person is writing down furiously as much as he or she can, and then switch to the next station, which is the physical station, where you're putting images together into a movement section, and then you teach your pattern to your partner, and then switch to the other station, like a reading station, where you just grab and you read and you write down things. And so then that's done in 20 minutes. You go back and look over everything and circle things, finish writing something.
Yeah.
And then you are given a list of ingredients. We call them givens, because then you're going to create a short piece. And all you have to use is all of the stuff that you just wrote down through your stations. You don't need to add anything. So then we're adding ingredients like 30 seconds of silence. And,
yeah.
Floor pattern is repeated 5 times. 3 pieces of text repeated in a chorus 8 times. Stuff like that.
And moments where I was the most sort of scared, mm-hmm. but there was never a feeling of there's a failure. It's like
right.
these are things that are happening in a rehearsal process.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they put erasers on pencils.
What?
And that's, you know, that was actually the most affirming thing for me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure for anybody who does this type of work, is the fact that, you know, we've created this. You
right.
can't screw up something you just created.
Exactly.
If anything, you can make it better
right.
than what you ever intended.
Right.
I guess that's where I wonder, and if I was to pose this question to you, and I don't know what kind of evil power would ever do this to somebody, although, you know, I'm sure we can use our imaginations these days. If you had to pick, if you were forced to pick one type of theater you could do for the rest of your life, would it be sort of, let's just call it the traditional scripted work, or would it be new work created by an ensemble?
This should be no surprise, but I would do new work created by an ensemble.
Cut. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to just turn this. Oh, what? She took a right turn, and now
what?
She's saying this?
You don't know me at all.
And obviously, why is that?
Because
it's just the freedom?
Yeah, the freedom, and it's inspiring, and just the inherent trust that you have with everyone in the room that you're creating.
Yeah.
It's just the positive environment and the yes anding, and everyone has a voice and ownership about what is being created.
Yeah.
It's just very I love it. I love it.
Well, and something you said about the process earlier, I think we also have to hang that on the frame of all the station work, viewpoints, whatever kind of exercises you have in the rehearsal process, in the creation process as well. That's a framework that is overseen by, like we said before, a
mm-hmm.
director
mm-hmm.
and creative lead.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also able to shape things a little bit more. They're also
right.
able to. This isn't a Wild West show.
Right.
Also, the theme that you picked at the
mm-hmm.
beginning, let's just say, and whatever that is, it's like mic stands throughout history.
Right.
That's the show we're gonna make.
Ooh, stunning.
I know. That's a good 2-hour play right there.
Yeah, definitely. No intermission.
No, not at all. Let's say 4 hours. That would just
yeah.
You know, if you go back to like, I think his name was Ezekiel Microphone, the inventor. I think that'd be fascinating. Anyway, but you have all of that to be able to string it on
mm-hmm.
in case people weren't tracking. I'm not trying to talk down to our audience. I just want to make sure people are like, yeah, this is what we're talking about. So I guess that kind of covers Sandbox's sort of process, but is there any territory that you think Sandbox hasn't covered yet that, I mean, I guess there always would be, but is there any territory that you're trying to explore now in 2018?
Mm-hmm.
From now on, what's the new, what's right. the next thing?
Well, we are starting a arm, a branch
okay.
of Sandbox that is going to involve silk work, aerial work. One of our company members is an aerialist, and she's been wanting to incorporate more of that into our work slash make it its own mini thing.
Yeah.
And so we're looking into that, which I find very exciting because I would love to do it. I just do not have upper arm strength whatsoever. But just the fact of trying to create a piece and using aerial work, people hanging from silks
yeah.
and yeah. So we're expanding into that. And we did dip our toe sort of into musical theater.
Right.
You were involved in that show. And
yeah.
I wouldn't mind going back into that a little bit
yeah.
deeper. I don't think I mean, it was a good show. It was overwhelming. And I would like to revisit that
sure.
Medium
yeah.
to see how things maybe could be done differently.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen a Sandbox show and you're listening to this, you do roughly how many shows per season?
Well, we do one big show
okay.
a year. Sometimes we do two shows.
Right. And you've done touring shows before. You've toured some things just
yeah,
here and
there. Tiny.
Small tours.
Tiny tour.
Yeah.
Duluth. Thank yeah. you, Duluth.
Well, it's still a tour.
Yes.
It's more than I've toured with any show I've done here. So, I mean, I if you haven't seen one, I remember I'm just going to throw this in here. My first experience, which I told Heather to death, I think, is with Sandbox, is a show. And I'd seen a 15-head show before this, obviously. But the first show I saw was Kugu Manuki.
Oh, yeah.
And it had this was like, as soon as I saw it twice, I took people with me the second time. Because I was like, you got to see this. You really have to see. I don't know what this is. It has that effect on you where you're like, this has got everything that, for me, theater should have. Like some very David Lynch elements, some almost spooky elements, some very wonderfully simply staged elements. But the payoff to that show just was like, oh, well, that's, of course it went that direction because that's not what I thought was going to happen. So I urge everybody who's listening to this, and I have no stock in this. Like, I don't know if you are on the stock market, actually. I don't think Sandbox has a stock
no.
market. Okay, so. So I haven't invested in that, and that's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because this is, again, like we said, one of the original originators of collaborative theater, which, again, a lot of theater companies are doing now. I wouldn't say a lot. But enough are doing it to where you feel like, you know, this is great, because now I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess so. That's a future of Sandbox. I want to mention that you had done a show previously with aerial work.
Yes, the Little Pilot.
The Little Pilot. Mm-hmm. That was at the Southern,
mm-hmm.
And it was both magnificent and breathtaking, as well as terrifying.
Yeah. So that was dipping the toe in aerial work.
Right.
And then that was the jumping off point for like, okay, we're gonna invest in this and make this a branch of
yeah.
Sandbox and see where that goes.
Yeah. It was just kind of amazing, and yet...
It was beautiful.
It was me worried for people.
Right.
Which clearly is not what you want to do when you're seeing a show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there's safety. And yet everything was perfectly safe. So I haven't... I think I've seen... Maybe seen you in a scripted show... But I honestly can't remember the last one. Do you remember
Didn't we do a scripted show together? Weren't you up in St. Cloud? No?
Oh, Calcutta. What was it? Hell, I don't know. What?
Okay, maybe it wasn't St. Cloud.
Maybe it wasn't me.
Maybe it wasn't you.
The other guy.
I feel like we have done scripted work together.
We have, but it's been a while.
The old People Center? Space?
The old People's Center.
Isn't that what it was called over at the U of M by the parking ramp?
I tell you, anybody listening to this, if you haven't seen a show at the Old People Center, that is...
You are missing out.
You are missing out.
Don't even know if that exists still.
They don't even let people under 40 in that space. The People Center. The People Center?
Oh, the People Center.
Yeah, the Old People Center.
Well, I am old.
Ditto.
Old.
Yeah, maybe. But
oh, my God.
When was that?
We did.
You're making gestures.
At the old theater garage. They're tearing down all the theaters that we've worked in together.
There's a reason they're tearing them down. Sam Landman
and... You were the stage manager. I was one of the moms of the kid who died.
Oh, my God. Our town. Was a billion years ago. Like, what was the last, like, traditional scripted... Do you even remember? You don't remember. Not with me. Just in general.
Oh, the last scripted...
Traditional scripted, like, let's just... I keep calling it traditional. That's a dumb word.
I don't have my resume with me.
Well, let me just look it up right here.
Sorry to whomever I worked with last on a pre-scripted script that I don't...
Somebody's really pissed at you right now.
I'm sorry.
They're chucking their laptop out the window right now out of hatred of Heather Scone.
I want a scone!
I shouldn't have brought up food. Wow, so you can't... You honestly can't remember.
I cannot.
You're not even going to say, like, what was the last thing you auditioned for? Can you say that?
To Kill a Mockingbird at Park Square.
You were in that or auditioned for
I was in
that.
It.
You were
both times.
And that was how many years ago? That was those were the daytime.
They did it, for the kids.
The kids.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago, maybe?
5 years ago, okay.
So maybe I've done some scripted work since then, but To Kill a Mockingbird. That is the most recent one that I can remember.
Okay. Wow, this segment was a bust. Get two old people in a room with two microphones, and they don't remember shit. I was just curious, because I know we've done stuff together, but it's been a long time. That was a Girl Friday show, actually.
Right. But, it hasn't been that long ago, your two Sandbox shows. So,
well, sure.
Yeah, but...
Sure.
Anyway.
But, so we did...
I'm putting my money on To Kill a Mockingbird.
Okay. Oh, that's a safe bet. A lot of people have done that show. So you could just say something like, I did King Lear, and you could say, that probably happened. You don't even have to look at your resume, which in fact, I'm not sure, but Damon is working this out, that hopefully this particular episode will be linked to your Minnesota playlist page. So if people want to call bullshit on you, all they got to do is go, there's the last thing she... That's not the last thing she did.
We can't even find her.
Who is Heather Scone? I keep searching her. There's no such person. This show is a scam.
Oh,
a total bunch of crap. Why are they bringing in people that don't remember stuff? I think that probably wraps us up here.
Woo!
Thank you so much for being here. But I do have one final thought.
Yes.
This is the one thing you said you were dreading.
Oh, yeah.
You've already dug some...
Holes
in the table with your nails. Just if you can tell me, just breathe in, breathe out, and just tell me what acting isn't.
Oh Lord,
you had to have an idea when I sent this.
I know.
Before.
So what acting isn't?
There's no wrong answer until there's a wrong answer.
No, I understand. So for me, this is really hard to answer. I know. I'm sorry.
We're cutting all of this part out.
It's making sure that you live your life, that you can talk about other things than theater, than acting, than whatever audition. I mean, and I get it. I was there.
Yeah.
Fresh out of college, but now I'm. No, I'm older, and I've been at my job for 22 years, which is weird. And so I travel, and I do other things. And I don't know how that answers what acting isn't. Acting isn't making that it's your entire life and be all end all.
That's one of the more original answers we've gotten, because normally people go the route of the cerebral actor thing where it's like acting isn't waving your hands and every 5 minutes on stage.
Right.
Whereas this has got bigger implications.
And I realize that we all make different choices.
Yeah.
I chose to get a job right after college, and I wasn't, you know, stringing three or four jobs together to, you know, and so I get that. And so I've been at my job for 22 years.
Yes.
So we just, which has now allowed me to not focus all my energy on theater.
Okay, I'm going to chop and channel your answer a little bit,
okay,
and I'm going to say what you're trying to say. Let me just mansplain for 2 seconds.
Oh,
this is the worst
brilliant
thing you could do in a liberal show like this. But I hear what you're saying in that, or I'll just build on what you're saying.
Okay.
Let's say your answer, from what I'm taking, it is if you're at a party with a bunch of actors— I almost said douchey actors. Let's just say actors. If you're in a party with other actors, don't ask the question, what are you doing next?
Right.
Because that person will say something and they are morally, ethically obliged to say, so, and what are you doing next?
Right.
That's, I think
right,
that's what I took.
Yeah. And I'll be like, I'm not doing anything. I'm here at this party, want to see my friends.
And their response is like, oh, okay. Well,
right,
maybe you'll, you know.
Oh, she's washed up or whatever.
Yeah, she hasn't done anything since Mockingbird. That's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Poor Heather Scone. Man, used to be so good.
I thought it was Stone.
Yeah,
but I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because she's kind of nothing now.
She's nothing.
She's not auditioning for anything. She's not in anything. I asked her.
I know.
Can you believe it?
Nothing.
God, I hope she's not dying.
Anyway.
Well, that's all we got. Heather, thank you so
thank
much
you
for coming here and being honest and telling us everything that you have to say. That answer was just amazing.
Oh, thanks.
So all that worry was for
please
nothing.
Please still love me.
All right. Well, that's it for us. We'll be on to the next episode soon. Thank you so much for listening to The Bazness. We will see you in episode 6. Bazness is made possible thanks to Minnesota Playlist, where you can promote yourself, your job, and your show over at minnesotaplaylist.com. Each and every episode is recorded inside Town Studios at the Good Arts Collective, a member-driven co-op of local artists, pooling resources and creating cool art. Learn more at goodartscollective.com. Audio engineering and mixing provided by the lovely Brian Lenz. Our Bazness theme was created by Vulpus Vulpus. Hit us up at info@minnesotaplaylist.com. As always, thanks for listening and keep putting your best self out there.